When it comes to commercial banking, relationships matter. At Associated Bank, we've got you. With a dedicated team of relationship managers helping you secure financing to best serve you today and tomorrow. Visit associatedbank.com/commercial. Member FDIC.
We're on with Jake Braun, Portfolio Manager in Associated Bank's Wealth Management and Institutional Services. Jake, welcome back.
Hey, Steve. Great to be back. Thanks for having me.
I've seen a couple of analysts say that the Fed might be done raising interest rates for a while, but then I saw a story that Jamie Dimon, who is the CEO of JP Morgan Chase, says that we might actually see another interest rate hike and maybe even a sharp interest rate hike going up. What are your thoughts on this? What are you seeing?
I would tell you right now that I think he's an outlier. And if I hate to speak for other people, especially a guy like Jamie, I think he might have been speculating quite a bit, because we have a couple of different ways of looking at what most people think the future of interest rates will be. The first one is the Fed itself. They haven't always done this, but for quite a few years now, they've provided guidance where they personally think interest rates will be at. And it's called a dot plot. So if you ever hear that, that's what that's referring to. They ask all the voting members, where do you think you're going to put interest rates? And since they're the one making the decisions, it's pretty relevant. They think we don't go really too much higher from here. Maybe 1.25% hike from here. Next year, most of the members think we'll be 1% lower. In 2025, another 1% lower. And then by, you know, their long-term target is to eventually get these interest rates on the short side, those short-term rates they set, down to about 2.5%. The market, of course, investors don't entirely agree, but they're mostly aligned. We can look at futures markets to get a sense of, okay, what is the actual money betting on? And the investor money says, yeah, maybe one more this year, and then probably a hike by summer of next year, and then we're just looking at cuts most likely. Yeah, if we got to 7%, I mean, Jamie's right. If we got 7%, it would likely just increase the odds of something breaking. At this point, I think we haven't really felt most of the effects of the hike so far. It takes time for them to work their way through the economy. And one of the reasons I think people have been so surprised by how resilient our growth has been is because, you know, when you increase interest rates, one of the most direct avenues by which those effects are felt are higher interest costs. So a loan becomes more expensive, but most regular people like you and me, Steve, like most of our debt is our mortgage. That's true for most people. And most people have fixed mortgages below 5% that they refinanced a few years ago. There's mortgage data gets published every week. And so how those individuals get exposed to interest rates is going to take time in other ways. Businesses will have to roll their debt over eventually, but it doesn't happen all at once. So 7% would be very difficult, and it would just increase the pressure that's already been built. But I don't think that's likely, and I don't think many people agree with Jamie that it's likely.
What kinds of things will the Fed be looking at moving forward? Jobs, consumer spending, general consumer sentiment? What kinds of things will they look at as they make their decision in the months coming up?
Yeah, that's important to know, right? Especially if you want to, Fed speak is what that's referred to. Whenever they make a change and they get together, Chairman Jerome Powell will do a press conference, and his words are poured over as if they contain the secret of life. Every word is dissected, but they do mention a few metrics. The big one they've been looking at, and I know this is a lot, but it's called core PCE services ex housing. I don't need to go into everything, but really what they're looking at is what services are people spending money on if we ignore housing. And so car services, healthcare services, that's where a lot of the inflation has been in. Inflation, the headline number for the entire universe of prices has come down steadily over the last year, but there's a little pocket that's a little sticky. And so they're really focusing on those stickier pockets because they, in order to be convinced that their interest rates have worked, that inflation has been defeated, and they can step back and go cut some interest rates to go closer to that target, they want to make sure those pockets are taken care of. So certainly looking at that, they are also looking at wages wages. There's always the fear that if prices go up, then wages go up, and then prices go up, and that wage-price spiral gets out of control. Wages have been slowly coming down. They're growing, but not as much as they were. And then it's not necessarily something that they have control over, but oil prices are probably the biggest risk at this point. Oil prices are determined by global supply and demand, and when the oil producers want to cut supply to increase prices, they'll do that. They've been trying to do that, and it's worked a little bit. I'm sure everyone has noticed prices go up, but the Fed doesn't have a tremendous amount of control, but they might have to react. Back in the 70s when prices exploded, that was the dilemma they faced. But all in all, what they're really focused on is what are people spending money on, how much money are they making, and is that coming to a sustainable level?
The ADP jobs report came in a little weaker than expected, and part of that report, if you read through it, shows that the wages, as you talked about, have been going down markedly, according to ADP. Over the last year, we've seen quite a big drop in wages. That's the kind of thing that the Fed will be paying close attention to. I know the government jobs report is coming later this week.
Yeah, there's a couple of big jobs reports we get, and the jobs are kind of like a reaffirmation. They're like, okay, is that working? They don't do a great job of necessarily leading those decisions, but they're a good check-in, and to your point, they've moderated a bit, but I think everyone has to keep in mind, we were adding 500,000 jobs in January, and when you get to the kind of unemployment level we're at, which is, I think, a 3.7, 3.8, it's about as low as you can go. So when you get to the lower bound, you just simply cannot add as many jobs as you could when there was a lot of people out of work. And so, they've moderated off some amazing levels, but the levels they're at now are pretty sustainable. They're in line with long-term averages. So there's some early signs, layoffs and quit rates, some of these other minor, I'll call them data points that are inflecting up, that are saying, jobs might be continuing to weaken from here, but this holiday season is going to be a big tell. This is usually when consumers spend all their money, temporary workers can get a job wherever. So this will be a big holiday season to watch.
Jake, we dodged a bullet with the government shutdown being averted. There is at least a temporary spending plan, but we could have to go through this again later in the year, probably around Thanksgiving. I was interested to read that the Fed would be quite hobbled by a government shutdown in terms of looking at all of the data, getting all of the data it needed to make a decision. What kind of danger for the Fed is there with this ongoing threat of a possible government shutdown?
Yeah, so there's some danger. I would put it a little bit into context. First of all, with the speakership in question, and it seems like dysfunction is not going away, I wouldn't be surprised if we have a shutdown. It seems like, yes, we dodged a bullet, but 45 days later, we might have to face this again. For the Fed, data is how they're very data dependent. And when you have a shutdown, a lot of people get furloughed. There's other ways that they can get proxy data, I'll call it. So some Fed members like to talk to their businesses in their district to get a sense of, is this large-scale data we're seeing? Is that your lived experience? But collecting all this data on 360-plus million Americans and the millions of businesses that exist in this country, that is a tremendously hard job to do. It requires a lot of people, and even on their best day, it's going to be lagged. You shut down the government, the data quality goes down, the speed at which it becomes available goes down. So that is a danger. Thankfully, we're coming off of a few months of relative stability in terms of inflation. The worst case scenario is inflation spikes and we can't notice it because none of our analysts are working. But things seem a little more stable than they were 6 months or a year ago. Hopefully the shutdown, if it does happen, is short-lived, but the longer it goes on, the greater these risks become.
There are a couple of big strikes going on right now. We saw the writer strike settled, but the actors are still on strike, and of course we have all of these United Auto Workers members on strike. There's a report out that the striking unions are actually impacting the economy at a level not seen in decades. What's the danger moving forward if these big strikes continue for the economy?
First of all, I did not know the actors were still on strike. That's pretty disappointing because there's a lot of shows I was looking forward to coming back. But you're right. The auto workers, they're still going through their strike. There's a website you can check to see what the active labor disputes are, and there might be more people within those industries that join. There might be other strikes that start. There's really largely two different ways that these strikes have the potential of affecting the economy. One is, I think, maybe the most obvious: supply. If no auto workers are working, then no cars are being built. And if people want cars and there's not enough of them, I mean, we saw that a few years ago. If strict supply, you might see prices rise if demand is still there. The other way is through wages. Of course, what the labor unions want is a better contract, higher wages. And it's important to keep in mind that these industries we're talking about represent a very small pool of our national labor. But if they get substantial raises, you know, it might make an impact. I'm skeptical. But one of the things that labor contracts can do is they can have secondary effects, because if you're a non-union employee and you see a union employee get a big raise, that can be a benchmark then, and that might allow you to negotiate a higher wage by proxy. But you know, we don't have a lot of labor membership in this country. We used to decades ago, and so it's one of those things. Let's keep an eye on it. I think really at the worst, it's not going to have too much of an impact, but we're certainly seeing more labor activity than we did in any time over the last few years. So if this is a trend that continues, the impact could grow.
Jake, great conversation. As always, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Absolutely. Please reach out to me. My email is jacob.braund@associatedbank.com, or you can just call me directly. Area code 414-278-1864.
All right, Jake. Thank you. We'll talk to you next time.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve.